Items number one and two are combined hearings. Item number one is an application for rezoning for 5198 Roblin Boulevard under file DAZ 235-2007. It is adjourned from June 10, 2008. And in accordance with the City Winnipeg Charter of Development Procedures bylaw, this is an accompanying hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item number two is an application for a variance for 5198 Roblin Boulevard under file DAV 12444 of 2008 for the construction of a commercial building to permit a reduced rear yard, and that is also adjourned from June 10th. Mr. Chairman, I believe that we do have the applicants present.
Sure. I guess if you'd like to come back up, I believe it's Carrie, Bob, and Misty for round two here.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, and all committee members. We're going to change the stroke a little bit tonight, but I'm going to speak first on this subject tonight. We're going to review some of the thoughts that came out of the last meeting, and I'm going to ignore some of the obvious ones we pioneered, et cetera, but as we all know, pioneers applied for the zoning changes as noted in the file for tonight's meeting. We've agreed in principle to the proposed changes and revisions as outlined, but with one exception that we'll define later on in the meeting tonight. As all the attendees may be aware, we had consulted with the city for the initial site plan and all the related items that needed to be addressed in our original proposal. After discussions with the councillor for the area, we proceeded with the application to the planning department. Due to the nature of the area being predominant residential, we planned a neighborhood meeting to inform the neighbors regarding the proposed site development. After reviewing the comments from the first meeting, we realigned the site plan to meet the majority of the concerns of the neighbors. We also had a second forum for the neighbors to review it again. Our planners also suggested several avenues for the neighbors to pursue the traffic and parking issues that were raised along Pepperloaf. We have entertained the majority of the issues that we could economically proceed with while still maintaining a viable economic model to proceed with the development of the property. The final site plan that is before you today is not the best from the point of view of the company based on the size and shape of the lot. We are not maximizing the potential of the traffic flow and parking in today's market. However, as noted above, we listened to the concerns at the information sessions and changed the location of the store. We compromised the site plan to meet the neighbors' concerns. As requested by the neighbors, we realigned the garbage enclosure to the street side away from the rear property line. After several discussions on the road access, we've aligned the driveway along Pepperloaf by moving it to the south to create a safer entrance to the property to help eliminate the dangerous situation at the corner. The new location of the building, back to almost the original position of the existing building, will potentially eliminate most of the lighting issues from the residential area and will potentially reduce the noise level associated with the operation. We understand the concerns of the neighbors and compromise the original site plan to the current proposed site plan. At the end of the day, I feel that most people will agree that the proposed site plan and zoning change will allow for a much better development for the property as it stands today. As it sits today, we have an old three-bay garage with dated landscaping and design to the property. The entire property needs a facelift, and Pioneer is prepared to accomplish that with our proposal, which involves a new building with a modern design, new canopy with improved lighting, paving the entire lot so there is no gravel and dust being generated, elimination of the propane filling station, landscaping to the city's standards, updated fueling equipment, exceeding the environmental standards as set out by the government's legislation, energy efficient use of the lights, etc., to reduce the energy required and make the site green, to try to accomplish all green friendly standards. We're planning to incorporate as many of these as possible into the site. Proceeding with the application today as presented has given the neighbors a chance to contribute to design and final format that as a company we are prepared to operate. We have met or exceeded all reasonable requests by the city and the neighbors to date in trying to accommodate their concerns and requests and still meet our obligations to operate the site and to be held accountable to our stakeholders. They, the stakeholders in the company, tend to be a little bit nervous when you're spending upwards of $1.5 million on a site with the restrictions associated with the proposal in front of us today. One of the items that was noted in previous meetings was the hours of operation. They did not want to see the site changed to a 24-hour operation. We have no issue with that demand and appreciate their concerns, being a predominant residential area. We would like to address the opening hours currently listed at 7 a.m. in the proposal. Imperial Oil has now handed the operations over to Pioneer in a form of a lease arrangement until a direction of the site is determined. As discussed previously, Imperial Oil has pulled its management of the retail sites out of Winnipeg. In reviewing the area, we have realized over the last month since the lease was in place that there is a potential in the morning hours for business. And it, after reviewing the trade area, we have noted the Shell location down the road at Roblin and the perimeter, as it's called, is a 24-hour site. This site is considered our competition based on the traffic along Roblin. However, we do not want to be at a competitive disadvantage with our competition. But again, I am stressing the point, we do not want to be 24 hours. We realize that. We just want the ability to open at 6 a.m. We would like to capitalize on the morning drive that starts earlier than 7 a.m. of the proposed opening time. We have realized this information based on the data that we've got over the last month. We were shocked, to be honest with you. And we weren't privy to that information when Imperial Oil had all the reporting directly to them. Now it's coming through our office, and yeah, there is a need, and there is enough that warrants to service the community for that hour morning drive into town. In the discussion at the last meeting, the noise from the traffic and the noise from the local kids was a concern at night. My thoughts are that this type of customer creating the potential problems and concerns at night are not the same customers that are attending or visiting the site from 6 to 7 in the morning. I think that's pretty obvious that the so-called local teens that are out at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, they're not the ones out at 6 to 7 in the morning. I think we can all agree to that. Again, I point out the fact that we do not want 24 hours, and we have listened to the neighbors. We are asking for the ability to open at 6 and still close at 10 p.m. rather than the normal 11 p.m. as most other service stations on restricted hours are in the city of Winnipeg, or rather than our competition, which is obviously 24 hours. This is only a one-hour extension as noted in the zoning agreements as proposed, and I again want to emphasize that we were very quietly surprised and happy that the volume was there in the morning, something that was not indicated to us previously.
Sorry, what was the volume again from 6 to 7, you're saying?
I'm sorry?
What was the volume, say, there is when you talk?
No, it's just that the potential is there.
Okay.
Like when she opens the door at 7 a.m., they're lined up.
Right.
But it indicates that there's a need to have that earlier hours in the morning for that. I don't want to use the term bedroom community, but for the Roblin area community driving into town or wherever they're working, they're on the road at that time.
Okay.
And we feel there's a need to service the community with that opportunity from 6 to 7. We realize that the extra hour in the morning will be beneficial for the site and our customer base at that time, which will be part of the community, being the normal working class on their way to work in the morning. Most customers establish a buying routine, and they continue to make purchases at the same locations. This is a viable point for Pioneer to establish the ability of the customer to shop on his or her way to work and hopefully return for additional purposes as required as the site becomes his or her neighborhood stop for gas and related items. To summarize, we would like to proceed with the application of the zoning change, with the only exception to the proposal is the opening the site at 6, with the lights on at 6. We have no other issues with the agreement as it is written, and understand that there's some concerns about other uses under the C2 zoning bylaw that would probably be written or added to the bylaw. We have no objections to that, providing we still maintain the three objectives of the site. Thank you for your patience on this.
Comment or questions?
Yeah, I first of all, I'm not going to approach it the way that it was laid out last time or this time, where we would delete things. Mm-hmm. And instead of talking about deleting things in a zoning agreement, we would talk about what you can have, not what you can't have.
This one.
That's simpler.
Yes.
Then it's going to be clear to everybody what was intended.
If you were deleting, we'd be here for
time. Exactly, because I could have a list of 85 things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going there, but I do want to talk about one issue. Because at the last meeting, when we talked about this, you actually called it a deli. You didn't call it a restaurant. What you talked about was having a few seats or tables, whatever, inside the actual convenience store. And then I got reading a lot of this stuff in depth, and one of the clauses here talks about, it doesn't call it a deli, it calls it a restaurant, and it calls it, and it says not to exceed 800 square feet. 800 square feet is huge, absolutely huge. That's bigger than most convenience stores, frankly. So I don't know how much square footage this is. I'm starting to have a real problem with that. So I need a little bit better explanation about what you think you're wanting to do there.
What the building itself is approximately, give or take, a few square feet. It's 2,400 square feet.
Yeah.
And in most cases, in the past, we developed these sites with a third of it or 800 square feet. Now, that's based on a lot of different venues being available, whether it's whatever company that shows interest. That's basically the minimum they're going to want. They will have a preparation area. Storage is obviously critical. And still have a counter that's workable. And a couple of seats, or their customers can sit down, have their coffee, have their deli sandwich, or their donut, or whatever the case may be. And that's what the norm of the scenario is. I appreciate where you're coming from. 800 square feet seems to be a lot.
Where I'm coming from, to be really blunt, is I don't see the Shell as any kind of competition to you whatsoever. I've lived in Charleston all my life.
Yeah.
I know who lives at the West End, and mm-hmm. I know how many vehicles are down there. And there's only two places where you can purchase gas in Charleston right now. One is at the Shell, and one is at the co-op down in the village.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all there is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's not a lot of competition there, yeah. And I can tell you that nobody in the Roblin Park area is going to drive to Westdale at 3 o'clock in the morning because they're open 24 hours. There's no issue there, trust me. Okay. And in fact, I'm not even going to accept that there's an issue there.
Yeah.
So discussion closed, I guess, is what I'm telling you on that one. I'm not even interested in discussing. I don't consider that any competition whatsoever. In fact, they had an Esso station right next door. There was no competition to them either. It's closed. It's been closed for 10 years. They're trying to figure out what to do with it. And somebody thinks it's worth $1.3 million, and they're nuts. But anyway, the thing that I'm trying to contain here, like what this was all about, was trying to create some fairness. The fairness being that there's been a service station on this site since the late 50s, and that there's been a convenience store on this site for a considerable number of years. And under the circumstances, and I understand them, that Esso, given environmental issues and those kinds of things, wants to take the building down, and for that to happen and you to build a new building, there has to be a rezoning, so we can do that through a zoning agreement. I understand all that. That's simple kind of stuff. But this service station, whether you like it or not, and whether it's deemed to be a commercial site, call it C1, call it C2, you can call it C whatever you want, for my money, is smack dab in the middle of a residential area. Roblin Boulevard is a regional street, but it's not Region Avenue, and it's not Pembina Highway, and it sure as heck isn't Portage Avenue.
Absolutely.
It's mostly a residential regional street. And right across the street, you've got houses that are worth $500,000 and up, and back right onto this thing. You've got people right next door, and so what you have right now is I'll call it a gas bar, fuel sales, and you have a convenience store. That's what you have, okay? And I've got no issue with those. I've got a bit of an issue with this restaurant thing because I thought I understood it a little better the way you were describing it last time, and that's my key issue right now. That's really the only thing I actually want to talk about tonight. I know how to deal with the rest.
Okay.
Okay? I appreciate you're here doing your thing, and I appreciate that.
And I appreciate you doing your thing.
I got no choice.
Yeah.
I'm a direct type of guy. I don't like wasting people's time. So I'm trying to talk at your nose as best as I can here because that's the way I do business. Okay?
I understand that.
The I got a problem with like when you've got 2,400 square feet, I'm assuming that a little bit of that storage, I don't know how much of that storage, I'm not expecting you to know that off the top of your head, but it's, some of that's going to be storage.
It's probably around 250 to 300 square feet of storage.
Plus office space and washroom space in addition.
Yeah, and but that's tied to the convenience store, and the convenience store would typically be about the same thing. It would probably be 800 to 1,000 square feet, would it not?
In today's marketplace, Bill, to be honest with you, no.
No.
Any new developments going up, like Imperial Oil right now, will not even think about building a store unless it exceeds 2,200 square feet.
The convenience store.
The convenience store. Just to operate a gas bar, period.
Yeah.
Okay. The Pioneer itself, now, we start at 1,500.
Well, it's not the size of the convenience store that's got me bugged. It's how much of the convenience store is a restaurant.
No, I realize that.
And restaurant needs so many things. That's what's
kind of. And that's where I'm going with this. And that's why the building came up to be 2,400 square feet to allow the 1,500, give or take a few, for the convenience offer, the cashier for the gas bar, you know, a 7-door walk-in cooler, which obviously takes space, but it's a very viable in today's marketplace. And then give or take the 800 square feet for the restaurant, deli, coffee shop, whatever term you want to put on it.
Well, if you've got a convenience store that's, well, if they say the minimum is 1,500 square feet, and you've got even 300 for storage, that's 1,800, and you got to have somewhere for somebody to come and pay for their gas.
Sure.
Doesn't leave 800 square feet for a, well, I guess it can if it's within the.
Yeah, the 1,500 includes the storage and the cash and.
The 1,500.
The 1,500.
For the convenience store includes the storage space.
If we were to build a site, 1,500 square feet, that's your convenience store, your gas bar offer, sorry, the gas bar cashier area, an office, your backroom storage, etc. That's your 1,500 to 1,600 square foot model.
So you're going to walk in the front door of the convenience store, and if you want a bottle of milk, you go over here. And if you want to go and have a donut or whatever it is, that this, you're going to go somewhere else.
Correct.
Go right versus left.
Right, left.
Yeah, basically the way the foresight of this is, you have one common door. You go through the door, you go pay for your gas, pay for your popper chips or whatever you're going to buy, and if you're going to entertain a coffee or whatever else, then you would pay for your gas, go over to the other section of the building, which would be open to the inside only, not from the outside, and then do your business on that side over there.
If you've only got, I'll pick one. I know about, there's a Petro Canada on 40th Avenue. You go in there, it's got an A&W.
Mm-hmm.
It's got three little tables. I think they've got four chairs. They're just like they're mounted to the floor and they spin or something. There's about 12 stools and three little tables.
Right.
Is that what you're talking about?
No.
What are you talking about?
See, the A&W is a different clientele or different venue. The A&W is a restaurant with, you're going to go and buy your Mama Burger, Papa Burger, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
We're not after that market. Everything on that in the A&W is cooked and prepared right there on site.
Yeah.
What we're envisioning is what we've done back in Ontario with a couple of different venues is some of the stuff may be brought in. It could be microwaved or very little preparation, not your full-blown grills with exhaust fans you would have from an A&W style. Take the thing.
No
more
deep
of an
fryers.
Instant fresh.
No deep fryers
food.
Or
no.
Sandwiches,
no.
Cold sandwiches.
Like a prepared food like you can get from Costco. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry.
Prepared foods that you can get from Costco. Well, or that you just heat.
That might be a spread from Costco, but yeah, that type of thing. It's more of a sandwich trade that you know you have a loaf of bread on the shelf and some lunch meat in the fridge or whatever, and prepare that type of thing, or obviously donuts that have been brought in from elsewhere or. That's the style. We are not a takeout. We're not trying to be a restaurant to prepare a full blown meal.
And I accept what you're telling me. But if it's not, then it seems to me that 800 square feet is an awful huge area to be set aside for what you're talking about.
Because
I know the size of my own store. I was just talking about for me. I've got a pool store. Including my office is 20 by 65. I've got warehouses behind that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a tiny store.
Well,
that's smaller than what you're talking about.
Right now, in other instances, when a company comes in, they want to put a freezer in for all their products.
Yeah.
And they usually put in a 10 by 10 freezer, which is not
that square feet.
Yeah, 100 square feet. It's not that big. Yeah. You still got to have your storage for your dry goods, your paper, your cups, your napkins, et cetera, have an office where they can count their money, do business on the phone, fax machine, PC, and still be able to display their wares to the consumer. At the end of the day, that 800 square feet, probably 300 of that is the seating area out front. So they, at the end of the day, you only have 500, less the walk-in, they're down to 400. There's, okay. Unfortunately,
I'm just trying to understand
Bill,
it.
I know exactly
that's
where you're coming from.
I'm picking at you. I'm trying to understand it because it's...
No, that's fine.
It seems like a lot of space, and what I'm not trying to do here is turn this into something where we're going to have a big turnover of people come.
I do have a background in food. And another life, I used to work for McDonald's, so I'm aware of the circumstances of what goes on with the preparation of the back room, what you need to supply. Now, this is not a McDonald's by any stretch of the imagination. I do have a floor plan that was a mock-up that was done by Imperial Oil for us. I haven't brought it out; it hasn't been circulated, just because it's very focal, it's very general. There's no focus on any individual firm or company coming into it. I can bring it up, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's approximately 300 square feet for seating and 500 for the actual food sales preparation storage area for that component of it.
So it's two-thirds, one-third?
Basically.
So the out front would be one-third?
Yeah.
Let me ask a question then, Martin. for a second, if you don't mind. Any reconstruction requires plan approval, right?
Yep.
That includes inside the building as well as outside the building?
I'm not sure about inside, because once you've done the layout of the area that you're designing, when they remodel inside, the only time they come back for plan approval if they're trying to exceed the limitation that you would have there, 800 or whatever you would restrict that to, then they would have to come back.
So the plan approval is dealing with lighting, facades.
Yeah. If I could add something, and I know this is Manitoba, not Ontario, and I'm 100% aware of that issue, but in the past, I've done two properties in Ontario where we built the gas bar, built the C-store, got everything done. The third party came in this case it was Williams Coffee Shop, which is not even in the province. They applied for their permit for the interior modifications, including their hydro, the mechanical, the plumbing, et cetera, et cetera. And then went on from there. But the original building itself was part of the original building plan. Now, whether that still applies up here or not, I'm assuming it would.
In other words, the building was constructed, the full 2,400, but 800 was left empty until Williams Coffee came. So the convenience store opened with basically a fake, would you have had a fake wall there or something
like
that?
Yeah, exactly what we did.
A fake wall.
It's
a temporary wall, and that 800 square feet was empty, which my understanding is what they do here because they don't have a tenant at the moment.
Like we've talked to a few different people. We haven't got nothing in writing or paper from them because I don't know what I'm selling them yet.
How do you control it from having deep fryers?
I'm sorry?
How do you control it from having deep fryers and all that?
Well, we just tell them this is a venue that they're smart enough to realize that they don't have the room to do it, period.
That's likely the case.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I've stirred enough bumblebees for a few minutes, I guess. I just thought I'd share my thoughts. See what I can draw to you.
Councillor Clement likes bumblebees, so we wanted to... Councillor Nova, do you have any questions at all for that?
No, as long as there's not going to be deep fryers and grills, I'm okay with that. Okay.
We'll ask you to stand down at this point, and we can call you back to worry about anything else. At this point, I know there were some people that did come in a little bit late, so... if you do care to speak, whether it be for this issue, which is we're dealing with item number one and number two together, or if there's some other issues, if you do want to speak in favor, opposed, or for information, if I could ask you to fill out one of these forms and give it to our community clerk, Carlos. Thank you very much. So anyone in opposition, is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor, first of all, item number one and two? Okay, people in opposition, is it Larry Phillips?
Good afternoon. Don't have a long-winded discussion again today, but most points we raised last week, or last time, I guess, at the previous meeting. Again, just want to reemphasize the three main, I guess, concerns that we had. One is hours of operation. So in light of them even wanting to go to 6, that's a significant issue to us. And again, it was a significant issue when we talked to a number of the residents in the area about the issue. So going to 6 o'clock operation is definitely something that we would be in major disagreement with. Part of the issue with that is even though the operation, even today, is 7 to 10, it starts up already ahead of that in terms of noise and the day-to-day operations, and in particular the closure operations. It goes on well past 10 o'clock, almost 11, 11:30 sometimes before people are actually out of the site. So when you think of the hours, you've got to add on pretty much an hour to each end based on what happens and people coming and going. So starting at 6 means people are there at 5 o'clock in terms of the operators of the facility coming in and getting things ready. And there is quite a bit of noise in terms of them pulling stuff in and out, opening up the pumps and everything else. So it's already a major issue in terms of the fueling operation, which typically the facility is fueled in the middle of the night. So we hear that almost every other night when they're filling the tanks. So we live with that, but I have it on a regular basis at 6 o'clock in the morning is not something we would want to accept. The other issue we had is in relation to traffic. I know there was concerns, different opinions in terms of what the traffic issues would do. The biggest issue we have with traffic is, again, putting the perspective of the existing operation as a gas bar, small convenience center. We do have an issue with it going to the restaurant because that does increase the users. If you want perspective, 800 square feet is the size of this room. Those windows are 4 feet each. There's 7 of them. That's 30 feet, and it's square. So this is your coffee shop. It's not 14 little chairs and a few tables. It's a major operation, and that's our concern. The concern is if you start having this kind of operation as a sit-down restaurant, the site can't handle that traffic in terms of parking. They're going to start parking on Roblin, Pepperloaf. And the concern is the number of people that would come visit that kind of operation. And the concern is it is almost becoming a Tim Hortons type arrangement, not a drive-through operation, but a Tim Hortons arrangement where you can drive, park, and sit down in. So the concern is it's going to drive traffic, it's going to drive additional noise. So we have a major issue with it as a restaurant. We're all in agreement, neighbors included, that the plan for the renovations to the building is excellent. Everybody could agree today the place is a dive. So the proposed aesthetic improvements are a plus to everybody, all neighbors included. The convenience store, again, it operates as a small convenience store. We can accept a larger convenience operation, but no one wants to accept a revised use in terms of a restaurant, larger coffee bar type arrangement. The other major issue we have, I guess, is again, the location of the building. We appreciate the move on part of the applicant to have relocated the building based on our concerns, but we do have an issue that if this does go ahead under the proposal, but there is some control, I guess, that should they come in there to start cleaning up the site, and I am an environmental engineer, I deal with this all the time, things change in terms of if they come in there and they find there's impacts on the site. What we don't want is this thing, there's only to get, I guess, changed from C1 to C2, and then them have the ability to go put the building wherever they want on the basis that there's contamination under the existing building and they can't build there now. And again, I go back to the comments that were raised at the previous meeting. The intent is of the applicant that they will completely clean the site up, which is the whole reason we're going to the C2 and not just renovating the building as is. So I guess that's a concern, is that if this application does get approved, which we're not in approval of or in support of, but as a minimum, there still is a clause in there that controls that it's subject to the existing location or the proposed location on within the existing footprint. But they can't all of a sudden, after the zoning gets changed, relocate the building to the other side of the property.
We have plan approval.
So as long as that's in place, so that's the concern.
That will be a condition at the end of start. So.
And the only other issue was on the noise. Again, the teens at the end of the night are a concern, or even during the day, but there is just general noise with the operation start to finish. So it's not just the teenagers' noise in the evenings. That's one of the issues, but it is noisy all day long. So again, that's a significant concern of ourselves and a number of the neighbors in the immediate area. So I guess the only other thing I want to raise is we understand that you want to simplify the process in terms of having things that are allowed versus all the things that can be disallowed. We just want to make sure that hours of operation are definitely in there. The issue on lighting is in there based on the previous zoning agreement because it did control the lighting on the back of the property.
I'm assuming you've seen the public service recommendation from A1 to...
Yes.
You've seen all those. The only one I was looking at changing was the first one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, which is the one that said you can't have this, you can't have that. Instead of saying you can't have all those, I'm talking about you can't have these two or whatever.
Yeah, because we weren't sure exactly what's being proposed there. So as long as all those other clauses are in there, then...
Nobody will be able to misunderstand what we were intending here at that point.
Okay. I think. And anyways, I guess the point on the coffee bar is, again, it is an opinion of who thinks there will be more traffic or less traffic. Our concern is to potentially not include the coffee bar at this point in time, coffee bar slash restaurant, whatever they want to call it, but the idea that there's a timeline, if they want to appeal it later in 2 years or a year, reapply for that approval, if that's something that's done down the road. At least that way it does give everybody a chance to see what the traffic issues are and noise issues and everything else associated with the proposed development. Because the problem is if we go forward here, you can't go backwards. And that's the one big concern we have, is if this is all approved as proposed, if it becomes a major nightmare in terms of traffic and noise, how do you go backwards? And you can't.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Kathy Phillips.
Hi. First off, most of what he said, obviously, we've talked about it and I agree with, so I don't want to repeat everything he said. I just wanted to make one comment on the restaurant. To me, that's kind of the big sort of mystery sort of item. What exactly is it? He mentioned two tables. Earlier on, he mentioned talking to three clients, Tim Hortons, Starbucks, and Robbins. I'm curious if those are still the three he's talking about. I have been to his kind of, I can't remember the name of it, but out east in Ontario, I'm familiar with his type service station, and I have seen Tim Hortons in there, and that really concerns me, because I think people will drive to get to Tim Hortons, and maybe they won't drive so far to get to some little other kind of coffee shop, so that's kind of a big concern for me. And just not really knowing what he's wanting to do with this 800 square feet. So.
We can get him to answer when he comes back to the applicant, when they come back to a rebuttal. Is there anything more you'd like to add at this point? You won't be able to come back up and make other presentation. Do you have a question at all?
I think he's pretty much said it all. And I really appreciate what Bill said. I think he picked a lot of the things that were of concern to me. Specifically the restaurant size and the hours of operation. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Peter Brett.
My name is Peter Brett. You can shut me down any time you want here because there is an address issue here. I actually own a house on Jesse Avenue, and I live up in northern Manitoba, but I'm speaking for my parents who live on Pepperloaf.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
I grew up in the area.
Relax.
And, my issue isn't about this topic that you folks are bringing up here now. It's really about congestion. And I do believe that was brought up at the last meeting, which I wasn't able to attend. But I think there's just an accident waiting to happen. You've got all sorts of things happening there, especially at rush hour on a long weekend. And I can just see it getting worse. You've got U-turns. You've got an intersection, which as far as I'm concerned, there should be lights there. But the thing that gets me the most is the way people off Robin Boulevard just breeze in off that entrance off Pepperloaf, and I know this has been brought up before, but
that's been redesigned.
That's going to be correct.
That would be gone.
Like, is it going to be solid right through on Pepper Loaf, or is
there... It would be moved further south. But they wouldn't be able to... I know what you're talking about. They wouldn't be able to make that quick cut across the in front of the stop sign like they can now. That would be moved further back.
Well...
Away from the stop sign.
You'd have to drive down the street and physically make a left turn.
Yeah, a 90-degree turn you wouldn't be making.
You can't... And if you were coming from the west, you'd have to turn right and then turn left, the way it's designed now. I know what you're talking about, but that's gone.
Okay.
Well, we've dealt with that. That piece.
You know, that's my issue, and I just...
And the lights, just so you know, that the intersection doesn't even remotely qualify for lights. In fact, even the lights at Scottswood, the only reason they got in there was because we were doing a redevelopment on Relvin Boulevard at the time, and they didn't qualify either. But the reason that they were put there is because about, when I tell you, well, I can tell you 20 years ago anyways, although people think this is crazy making a comment, like I said, almost 70% of the people that live in Charles that live west of Charles are rural. Because it was dense, and you come back into the Robin Park area and east, it's big lots and trees and stuff. And the majority of the people actually lived west, and you couldn't get on the road in the morning. And so the reason why the lights were put in at Berkeley and Scottswood were actually to stop the traffic from the west and give other people a chance to get on. That's the reason they got there. They weren't there because they had enough warrants, is what I'm telling
you.
Yeah. Pepperloaf doesn't have enough either. In fact, there's a couple of places down in the village we'd like to have lights, and we can't get them either for the city.
Well,
it's hard.
Yeah, personally, like the thing I've done for years is when I figure I'm going to have a problem crossing that median, I'll actually go to Scottswood via Robindale.
Yeah.
Just because I know there's a set of lights there.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I know some people do that. Don't like intersections. The worst intersection right now is actually Grant and Cathcart. Times managed.
Yeah.
Seniors blocks on four corners. And
school.
It's difficult. And a school coming off of there, and it doesn't qualify. How many times we've looked at it? And it just doesn't make it. But I appreciate your comments. But we did deal with that other issue the last time we talked about it in the design. So.
Okay, well, thanks.
All right, you're welcome.
Okay, is there anyone else that cares to speak in opposition to this or for information? Okay. Ready to make a motion on this, Councillor Kimmel?
No, they haven't come back.
Oh, I'm sorry. The applicant would come back and get a vision.
That's a good try.
Jump in the gun. I got two of my hearings for my warrior.
Maybe there's something you want to say.
Before we get too far, I'd like to ask the clerk. We have a preliminary floor plan that was done. Is it the opportune time to...
The restaurant was brought up during the presentation several times, and we do actually have a plan, very preliminary, that shows what it looks like, and it would address, I guess, some of those questions about what the restaurant looks like. Is that something that could be received?
Mr. Chairman, we should share it with the people.
Sure. Yes,
okay, what's the process for that?
Normally, we don't accept new information, but
yeah,
since this is a matter of rebuttal,
yes,
in response to the question that was brought up as well, I would recommend to the chairman that it be submitted, but that it also be able
sure
to be reviewed by anybody that wants to have a look at it as well.
Sure.
Yeah, I just want to clarify, this is very, very preliminary. Like, it's not etched in stone by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a sample that would help, I think, clarify the footprint for the
layout of what the restaurant.
And you drew this for somebody that you don't know yet?
No.
What we did was we designed it for Imperial Oil, designed that based on the 2,400 square foot building.
Okay.
And what Imperial, being the monopolistic company that they are, said, okay, this is the footprint we're available, the 2,400. We need X number of square feet to operate the store and the gas bar effectively.
Okay.
It was left over. Here's what your opportunity is for your potential lease arrangement with a food offering or whatever the case may be. If it may come back to Starbucks and says, sorry, we can't operate in that footprint, then we go to Plan B.
So what's this corner? Like this obviously is aisles,
yeah,
aisles of food.
Yeah, these are what they call gondolas and merchandising area
right
here. This is what they call a walk-in cooler with all your doors for all your pop and beverages, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
With
pre-chilled product in the back of the delivery door. The square footage requires the two washrooms, manager's office, which is really too big and required, gas bar, cashier area, so a customer would come in here, hopefully walk through, pick up a bag of chips, papers, and purchase, and then exit out. Electrical area here, the janitor area, the mop sink, etc., etc. There's your walk-in freezer I was talking about for the potential food partner. There's their sales area and preparation area, and you see right there, it's not a lot. This area right here is only 410, where the 800 technically goes across on an angle here. Okay. That's where I think the confusion comes. You say 800, you go, oh my God, your garage is only 20 by 20 at home for a double, but that's what it ends up being with the seats and the preparation in there.
Okay. Yeah, sure, go ahead. Obviously, when you're doing a number of stations around the city, are you looking at dealing with the same vendor in all of them?
No, because, for instance,
some of them,
there may be.
Some of them could be big enough for a Tim Hortons drive-through. This one isn't.
Correct.
As an example.
That's right.
I don't think Tim wants to be anywhere where he can't drive in, but that's.
Well,
I mean, that's what I keep hearing from my friends.
Unless you're in the downtown, they'll go into a downtown MTS center, places
right,
like that,
walk-up trade.
Hospitals,
this is
university.
Not a walk-up trade. There's no, other than the bank next door, you're not going to survive on the tellers coming in for a coffee and a bagel in the afternoon. Tim Hortons was approached, and originally they turned this property down because they knew they could not have a drive-thru.
Yeah.
They're smart enough to realize that. And they're not in the market of putting in a straight walk-up counter. But at the same token, that's the type of offer we vision for this, whether it's a Starbucks, a Tim Hortons, or a Robbins. That type of clientele. We've approached them. We have nothing in paper. You know, they come back, well, how many square feet are you going to give us? And what's the rent per square foot? Well, I can't answer that question because of what, that's why we're here tonight. But we want to have that ability to source out that after the fact. We may end up putting a temporary wall up, and that temporary wall stays there for a year until a client comes forward with a viable option that's good for them but also good for us. We're not going to give the square footage away.
Was there any questions from the design layout from Larry, I guess your folks.
I guess my only comment is there is a empty counter on the SO on kind of so say things doesn't do a lot of counter.
I said they don't do it anymore. They don't even want to talk to anybody if they can't have a drive through anymore.
I can speak to that. There's a difference between a self serve counter and a walk up counter. When you have a walk up counter, it's manned by Tim Hortons staff. They have a full complement of the bagels, the donuts that are brought in, and they nuke them or whatever they do with it. A self-serve is just a straight counter, coffee machine. The customer comes in, pours their coffee, and off they go. To be quite honest with you, TDL is looking at getting out of that venue because they're very conscious and concerned of their quality of an 18-year-old cashier at night not changing the coffee to keep it fresh, the 20-minute package that they have. So they're going to a whole different format now. And that walk-up counter, it's very labor-intensive. They have to convince a franchisee at a nearby full-blown restaurant to take this on and staff it. And there's a lot of concern, I guess we could say, is with the franchisees. And that's why there's not a lot of those happening now. They know the value of the drive-through. We as businessmen and people in the community know the drive-throughs are not the best sometimes. And that's why they backed off on the site. They just did not want it. Now, then again, Starbucks is a lot more interested because it fits more of their pistol. So.
So any more questions from the Councillor Clement or Morgan?
I'm just bugged a little bit about the square footage yet. It still seems to me to be a little bit large.
At the time that the building permit for this site would go through, assuming that the application got approved, it would show basically an empty 800 square foot area because they do not have a tenant. In the future, they would have to apply for an interior rental permit in order to make renovations on the inside and create the food offering area. I don't know if this is possible. You'd be better at answering that. But is it possible to tie the interior reno to plan approval at that time so that when it moves forward and they do have a tenant, it requires approval by the administration at that point?
Yeah, you can put it in there, but I'm not sure if you want that kind of detail or you can. You're concerned about the 800, not what happens in design.
Yeah, it's mostly, well, yeah, I'm not really concerned because of the size is what it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why
things are not going to be able to
start
do
doing that.
I'm more concerned with the actual square footage.
Yeah.
Than I am with what they use the square footage for, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So to do that, you're just going to complicate the process too much detail.
Well, I could reiterate again that in today's climate of economic values and that, the site needs the ancillary incomes out of the C-store. I hate to say this, cigarettes, but also the limited margins. I know the public doesn't really think that way with the prices everybody's paying at the street, but we are in a pinch too from a margin point of view. There's not margins aren't there. And that's why one of the reasons why we've approached the for the food venue to add to the bottom line of the site to make it more viable for us. And in our economics and the costing that we've done for this site included a revenue stream from that side in the form of a base rent.
No, and I understand that.
No, and that's where I'm trying to establish, Bill, the sequence of what we went through here with the contribution from the different departments, what we need, and that's where obviously the 2,400 square foot came from. It wasn't just pulled out of the sky. That's what this site brings to the table in regards of the convenience offer, which is required, obviously, in today's marketplace to be competitive with everybody else. Unfortunately, if you look around the city, the good company, an example, is Domo's. They're an old full-service company that's got two or three pumps, but if you look at all their sites, they've got Pop, they've got Chips, they've got vending machines, because they've all realized now they can't survive in the margins alone, and that's why they've gone that way. It's a very cheap way of doing it, but that's the flavor of the environment today. And that's where, in order for us to do this properly, we need that 1,600, give or take, square footage to do the store, the washrooms, etc., and then the 400, the 500 for the quote-unquote preparation area, and then the balance being the seating area for the food offer side of it. Whether those seats get used or not, don't know. We may end up putting another merchandising counter in. I don't know. But it's just that's the way the general consensus is right now to lay it out.
All right. Thank you very much. Ready to make a motion, Councillor Clement?
Yeah. I'll move that the administrative report be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And I'm going to move that the receipt of public representation be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I'm going to move that. The administrative recommendation be concurred in and forwarded to the Standing Policy Committee on Property Development, subject to number 1A1 being amended to read that the applicant enter into a zoning agreement with the City of Winnipeg pursuant to subsection 241 of the City of Winnipeg Charter to provide for the following. Number one, the following uses on the land shall be restricted to A, fuel sales, B, convenience store, and C, a restaurant contained fully within the proposed convenience store. So that's the First Amendment. I want to make it a, I don't know, Martin, where to do it on here, but whether it's, we should be Roman numeral 10 or whether it should be just one of the other common numbers, but I want it clear that
Any reconstruction requires plan approval by the community, by the Citywide Community Committee. It's not expressly, I know it's intended, but I don't see it written anywhere.
Do you want me to read the recommendation that they have here so far for plan approval?
Yeah.
The plan approval recommendation is that for the development of any building and or accessory parking area and or signage, plans shall be submitted showing the location and design of the proposed buildings, gas bar canopy, the location and design of the accessory parking areas, private approaches, garage enclosures, fencing, lighting, landscaping, and signage to the director.
All right. The other...
And the Assiniboia.
And add that in there and continue that on.
And the last amendment...
Sorry, Councilor Ben, did you want to amend that recommendation to include... Or is that amendment... Or is that
that's fine. As long, I just want to make sure it's there.
Okay.
That's
all. So then we're not amending that?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
What we're amending is 1A1, which I just did.
Yep.
Okay. And I'll give you the... Okay.
Yep.
All right. And I'm going to recommend that we alter 1A6. I'm trying to share on all around, and I'm going to recommend that the restaurant shall not exceed 650 square feet. I just think that'll tighten it up enough that we're not going to get something goofy in there, and it's still going to give them the opportunity to have some further sales, which they've probably done the marketing and know that they need.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
You want to fish off?
I'll move it. The following supporting reasons are that there's been a fuel sales at this site for over 50 years, as well as a convenience store, and that I believe that based on the size of the restaurant site and the ability for it to operate within the convenience area, that it will not alter the traffic patterns that I believe are there very much, and that's why I'm prepared to move it like that. And I'll move that the public hearing prospectus application be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.